God's grace be with you today and the joy of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week, if you remember, we finished up looking together at the Apostles' Creed, and we saw how important it is for us to hold fast the confession of our faith to the end. As Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. And today I'd like to look with you at a similar topic, not just that we hold fast the confession of our faith with our lips, but that we hold it fast also in our heart and in our whole lives and actions, that we take it deep. And so I want to ask you, how deep is your faith today? Your confession in Jesus Christ? Is it on the surface? Is it in the shallows? Or is it medium in the middle? Or is it really deep in the core of your heart? Let's talk about why it's important for us to keep our faith in the core and how essential that is today and what God would teach us about it by his word, the scripture. So let's talk about getting the word deep in today and what God teaches us about that. Well, first off, how deep we get the word, the truth, our confession, deep inside of us is super important. And we see that in the scriptures all over the place. Like Psalm 119, I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We get it deep so that we don't sin. Then I also have, like Deuteronomy, these words I command you this day shall be upon your heart. In other words, that you might do them. And Jesus told us a whole parable about getting the word deep into our hearts in Luke chapter 8, where he tells the parable of the four soils and the seed. A sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell along the path, was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Secondly, some fell on the rock, and it was, as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And thirdly, some fell on the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And fourth, some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And then he says, this is the parable. The seed is the word. The one is along the path of those who've heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. Secondly, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, and in time of temptation fall away. Then the ones on the thorns are those who hear and go on their way. They're choked by the cares and riches of pleasures of life, and their fruit doesn't mature. And fourth, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a good and honest heart and bring forth fruit with patience. So what's this parable about? The whole thing's about the depth of your soil, right? Everything is, the word is scattered here and there amongst people. Some people, it's just on the surface. They don't even believe. Doesn't get in past the ears. Some people, just a little bit, and they fall away in temptation because it's very shallow. Others are sown in soil where everything else is growing up too. It's not deep and it's not a whole place. So three of those bore no fruit. It didn't get in deep, and they were ultimately destroyed. But the fourth one, was commended by God. It is the person who hears this word, it gets down deep into his soul, and he holds it fast in a good and honest heart, and then brings forth fruit with patience. So how deep is the word in your heart today? Have we taken it down deep into our hearts? Could we go still deeper than we have? Well, what's God warning us about today, and what do I really want to talk with you about? In a word, I want to address something God addresses very often in the scriptures, not because I suspect this of you, but we need to be warned against it always, is the word hypocrisy, that our faith gets deep inside of us. Listen to some things God says about hypocrisy in the scriptures, of which we need to be on guard. He says in James, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What do you do if you just hear the word preached on Sunday but don't do it? What are you? Deceiving yourself, says Scripture, plain as day. In Matthew 6, Jesus gives a lot of talk about this. He says, when you give alms, gifts, don't sound a trumpet before you. He says, as the hypocrites do, truly I say to you, they've received their reward, but give your alms in secret. And when you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and street corners that they may be seen by men. But pray in secret. And then he says, when you fast, don't look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward, but you're to do it in secret. And so does God talk a lot about hypocrisy in the scriptures? Yes or no? Is he big about this? He sure is. He talks about it actually a lot. And so I thought it'd be good for us to talk about it. And let's take a moment to understand in greater detail, what is a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? Well, the word Jesus uses here in the Greek sounds just like our word, hypocrites. Hypocrite, hypocrites, which means a person who says one thing but does another. He talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. A hypocrite might be someone who looks like a Christian, sounds like a Christian, goes to church, even reads the Bible, but doesn't walk in accordance with what he claims to confess. His life and behavior are not in accord with his words. And if you look at that word in the Greek, hypocrites, that Jesus uses, it was originally in Greek, it meant an actor or a player on a stage. You ever been to the theater? Well, in ancient Greek theater, they were a little different from ours. The actors would wear masks, big masks, of their character. So the idea was you are outwardly one person, but inwardly you're really somebody else. And so that's what a hypocrite is, someone who outwardly appears to be one person, but inwardly is very different. And God says, don't be like that with me. Because guess what? I see behind masks. The Lord sees not as a man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Revelation, Jesus says, I am he who searches mind and heart, and I'll give to each of you as your works deserve. So is it okay for us just to, not that you do, but would it be okay for us just to look like a Christian, sound like a Christian, talk like a Christian, go to church, read the Bible, but not act like a Christian? What do you think? You would be a hypocrite or a hero? Be a hypocrite in that case if you're not walking according to what you confess. For James goes on and says, if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a guy who goes up, looks at his face in the mirror, and at once goes away and forgets what he saw. But if you look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, into the gospel, and persevere, being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, you shall be blessed in your doing. In other words, he says, if anyone thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, doesn't watch his words, he says, this man's religion is in vain. It's empty. It's useless. It's of no value. But this is true religion, religion that's pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So what do you think? Hero or hypocrite? Which do you want to be? When we were in Vacation Bible School just the other week, and I don't mean to speak to you in a childish way, but it's kind of fun. We had Pete the Parrot, and we call them Pete and Repeat. And so this is not something we want to do, where you hear the confession, I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Son of the Holy Spirit, Son of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, I'm a good Christian.
You're a good Christian, you're a good Christian.
Are you just repeating this?
Repeating this, repeating this.
So he's really annoying, right?
Annoying, right?
Hey, so we were talking with the kids that we don't want to just hear the truth and not really take it to heart. We don't want to just spit back what we've already heard as if that's Christianity. We don't want to do that with the Apostles' Creed or with the confessions of the faith of the scriptures and just say, yes, I believe in this and this and this. I believe in this gospel. I believe in this and this, but not actually do it and walk in it, because God isn't mocked by these things. He sees behind masks. And have you experienced that in churches, that people wear masks? Sometimes on Sunday they look a certain way, but at home, or even on the drive home, they look different. I'm amazed as a pastor, when I walk in somewhere with a clerical collar, how people immediately shape up and they start I don't get to see what a person's really like sometimes. Sometimes they don't even know I'm a pastor, and they talk a certain way, then they realize I'm a pastor, and they're like, oh no, I said that. It's kind of interesting. We don't want to be like Pete the Parrot, or like a scarecrow in the field, which looks alive but really isn't. You know what God's after? And this is the message today. God is a real God who wants real people who believe in a real Christ, who bring forth real fruit in a real world. Let me say that again. He's a real God who wants real people to have a real faith in a real Christ, to do real works in a real world. He's looking for fruit, and that makes you a hero. That's a beautiful thing. We don't want to be hypocrites, but heroes. We don't want to be actors, but people who act on our faith in truth. And so what is God's judgment then, do you think, in the Bible for hypocrisy? Does he treat it lightly? You know, we can see, let's take a look in the Old Testament and see what God says. That's the place to look, right? The Bible. So on Isaiah chapter 1, God's people in the Old Testament were worshiping him. Let's see if God was pleased. He says in Isaiah 1, I've had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I don't delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats. Bring no more vain offerings. Your incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of assemblies. I can't endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They've become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. Why? He says, when you spread forth your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I'll not listen, because your hands are full of blood. In other words, they looked good. They looked like they were worshiping God. They were coming to church. It looked very solemn. They were making their confessions, but God wasn't having any of it. Why? Because they were doing evil to each other. They were destroying each other. Their hands were full of blood, and God wasn't tricked about this kind of stuff, just like he isn't today. And he said, I've seen your heart, and I condemn you for it. I don't accept this kind of worship. Get yourselves a right heart. Do we see the same thing in the New Testament? Well, let's turn over here in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 and following. Jesus really lays into the Pharisees and scribes. He says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, yet you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you're blind guides. You cleanse the outside of the cup, but inside you're full of extortion and greed. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs. What is it to whitewash something? You get something that's rotten and falling to pieces, and you paint white paint over it to make it look like it's new when it's really falling to pieces. Jesus says you are like that. You outwardly appear beautiful, but within you're full of dead man's bones and are of all uncleanness. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? So what's God's view on hypocrisy, do you think? No problem. It's not a big deal. That's a big deal. He says, how are you going to be escaped being sentenced to hell if you continue in this way? Jesus says to the people in that day, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but don't do what they do, for they preach, but they don't practice. Have you ever been in churches like this? I don't think this is the case here. Praise God, and may we be all on guard against it, but have you been in churches like this? Where, you know, they look and say a certain way, but on the other hand, they destroy you. Like it says in Jude, there are certain people devoid of the Holy Spirit in churches who disturb and divide churches. Well, beware of the scribes, says Jesus, who like to go about in long robes. Of course, I got a long robe on today. But to have salutations in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, but who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, they'll receive the, who knows it, greater condemnation. And so is God fooled when we wear a mask or when people wear masks? Or a long robe and love all the glory of being a Christian, but don't actually do what a Christian is supposed to do. God's not tricked. And he says, how are you going to escape being sentenced to hell? You're going to have the greater condemnation. Repent of these things. Let me give you a personal example. Not from real life, thanks be to God. But if I were to say to my wife, Beth, I love you. You're number one girl, my only. And then I were to go out and sleep around with every other girl on the beach, would my words save me? Absolutely not. Words alone are empty if they're not followed up by actions and faithfulness. And so if we were to say, hey, I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, but then don't act on that and put the greater things of God into practice, like justice and mercy and faith, will such a person be saved? Jesus says here, they will receive the greater condemnation because they thought they could pretend. So faith apart from works is dead. And Jesus says there's a great judgment coming on, and I'm afraid, a lot of people in churches today, in churches all across America and the world, who go to church, they read the Bible, they make the right confession, but they continue to act evilly to each other. I'm afraid of this word. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, but whoever does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many, many works in your name? And then I'll declare to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you doers of evil. So what we do is important to God. We're saved by grace through faith apart from our works, but our works bear witness that we actually have a real faith, right? But now I want to ask, do you think that there are actually hypocrites in the churches today, or is this just ancient times? Have you guys met some? How many times in my life have I met people who are outside the church who don't want anything to do with the church ever again in their lives because they say they're all hypocrites in there? Because they met some people who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, I just read a few days ago, actually on Thursday, on the Drudge Report, this article. You tell me what you think of it. It said, this is on the Drudge Report, it was titled, Drug-Fueled Gay Orgy at the Vatican. Does that sound like hypocrisy? But to make it even worse than that, think about this. It took place in a flat belonging to, quote, the Holy Office in charge of tackling sexual abuse amongst the clergy. Is that hypocrisy? These things are not going together. What about, though, in Protestant churches and evangelicalism? Same thing happens. You hear of a scandal, financial or sexual, here or there. What's that do to people's hearts? What's that do to people outside the church? It damages their heart. They say, I don't want anything to do with those people. They're just wearing masks. They're not really real. And so God's reputation is besmirched, and Jesus' name is reviled because of this. But I want to warn about a hypocrisy that's even more sinister, subtler, and more deadly than those big scandals that you hear about. It's where people actually behave like the Pharisees of old, where they actually live, it seems, very righteously. They read the Bible all the time. They can talk about the scriptures. They know all kinds of theological discussions. They actually come to church. They go to the synagogue. They fast twice a week. They give tithes of everything they have, and yet they don't love each other. They've neglected the weightier things of the law, righteousness and justice and mercy. Do you think that happens today? Where there's a church where everything looks very Christian, and they have a lot of talk about the Bible, but they don't love one another. The Bible says, John says, that if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen can't love God whom he has not seen. Think about an example of which there are some contemporary Christian songs where like a young girl makes a wrong move. She has sex outside of wedlock, gets pregnant, repents, but then the church, how do they receive her? Do they welcome her back? Do they show her mercy? Do they restore her through her repentance? Or do they say, nope, you've made a mistake. I have nothing to do with you anymore. You're out. What would that be? Well, I don't know. I think there's a lot of great ones in that church as well. But I will say this, is that would be hypocrisy. Because guess what? They're tithing, mint and dill and cumin. They're doing all these little things, the smaller things of law, but they're neglecting the weightier matters of the faith. You can't say, I love God, and yet you hate your brother. Especially when this person repents and comes to faith, you're to humbly receive that person and restore them. And of course, you guys do that. But if you didn't, you would have the same scent about you as the Pharisees, not lifting a finger to help those who sinned and done that which is wrong and refusing to accept and help. That's why Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son. It wasn't just to show that God would receive sinners. It was to talk about the elder brother who refused to welcome the lost brother who came home as the father welcomed that lost brother who came home. And the Pharisees were the older brother, and the parable was told against them because they'd forgotten love. And that's what we're really about at Christ Lutheran Church, isn't it? Love. And let's encourage each other in that. And you do this. I'm not preaching this because you don't, but I'm preaching it because you do the right thing. But I want us to do it more and more. For again, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, that person's a liar, says the Bible. For he who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen can't love God whom he's not seen. And whoever keeps God's word, though, in him truly love for God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we know him. He who abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Amen? If we're Christians, we don't only say, I believe in Jesus. That's a good start. But we also walk in the same way that Jesus walked. So if you ever meet hypocrisy in the church, what should you do? I'm just going to say, don't be too unduly alarmed by it. Jesus said, there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. People that are devoid of the Spirit, that inwardly they are not really, they are setting up divisions, worldly people. That's Jude verse 19. But don't be too unduly alarmed, because the devil is still around, and he's the worst hypocrite of all. He outwardly wears the mask of an angel of light, but inwardly he's the prince of darkness. He's still around, and so will be his children. But Paul says, God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So when an unbeliever wants to rail against the church and say, ah, you're all a bunch of hypocrites, you wear masks, you're people who say one thing and do another, that's not true. That's just true of some people who are not really genuinely Christian. But for us, we're here. We want to be heroes and not hypocrites. Not actors, but people who act in the faith. And I have the good pleasure to say to you, you do these things. But let's be on guard all the more. So what should we do then? What does God want us to do? Well, what should we do with this word? Just repeat and repeat? I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here in my heart. Hold it fast and bring forth the fruit. Amen? When I was down in Key Largo with Naomi years ago, and we were swimming around. You ever been down there where the Jesus statue is under the water? You know, some people just snorkel around at the surface and observe everything from a distance. But some dive down deep and get down there and touch Jesus and swim in all the colors of the beautiful undersea coral reef. That's what God wants us to do with his word. Don't just snorkel on the surface and observe these things from a distance. Dive down. Touch me. Take these things deep in, and they will spring up and cause abundant fruit. Don't be like a foolish person who hears these things and then doesn't do them and builds your house on the sand, because when a storm comes, especially God's judgment, you'll be destroyed. But be a wise person, hearing these words, building your life upon them. When the storm of judgment comes, you have nothing to fear, for you will pass right through it, because your deeds will be seen, tested by fire, and brought forth in joy. If you know these things, Jesus says, blessed are you if you do them. I am he who searches mind and heart, and I'll give to each of you as your works deserve. That's Revelation 2:23. So what do you do if you ever find yourself falling into hypocrisy? What should you do? If you ever put on a mask and you act one way, but you've confessed another, what do you do? What should you do? Repent. It's very simple. Say with David, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put in you a right spirit within me. And I can promise you, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Goes for myself as well. And be encouraged today, because you do do the hero thing of the faith. And in that, there is great reward because you have a treasure in the heavens that will never fail you, will never falter, and will never fade away. It's eternal in the heavens waiting for you. And I've seen you at this church when poor come in here, sometimes in shabby clothing, like it says in James. You receive them graciously. And God says to you, good job. Keep up the good work. I'm pleased. I've seen you when some of you are sick and in the hospital, or like with Greg recently, you are surrounding with prayer and comforting and helping. God says, good job. Great. Keep up the good work. I've seen some of you that are discouraged or depressed and wrestling with depression. I've seen each of you come around that person and come and offer words of encouragement and offer prayers to God on their behalf and help your brother or sister through their discouragement. God says, great job. I love it. That's what I'm talking about. Real people who believe in a real God and a real Christ and put it forth in real works in the real world. That's what I love. You shall not lose your reward. And when people around us don't know Christ, I've seen you out there to share in word and in deed. And God says, great job. Get my son's name out there, for there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. And when we keep God's commands, I want to tell you, it's not burdensome. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And Paul says, listen carefully. Well, I put that part in there, but he says, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And what's the fruit of the Spirit in us as we hold it deep? Love, joy, peace. Look over here. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, a sound mind. Don't you want those things in you? Then it's very simple. Let's just take this word deep. Hold it fast in a good and honest heart. You're going to bring forth fruit with patience. That's the Spirit's work in you. It's going to happen. It has to happen if you take that word down deep. And against such there is no law. And if anyone keeps my word, Jesus says, he'll never taste death. So the last thing I'll say today on this subject is this, that we can rejoice. Not only that you do these things, but that we have a God who's not a hypocrite. And Jesus, who's not a hypocrite. God's not a man that he should lie to you, or a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Everything our God has ever said, he does. And he's done that for you. It says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us. It took action. It came into full appearance that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live with him. And therefore, beloved, if God so loved us, let us also love one another. Let that be your aim, to encourage and build each other up in love. And Jesus says, he who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, I personally will give him power over the nations, and I will give him the bright morning star. In Jesus' name, amen.